is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus today, leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Savior can feel every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Has anyone here heard of an infographics channel on social media? I'm subscribed to one of them. And for example, it takes you through little small videos of different scenarios. And some of them are quite interesting. I'll give you an example. Where would you want to live if World War III started? So it takes you through a number of scenarios and what would be the best country. So it thinks. Another one is insane facts you never knew about the US military. And so on it goes forth. But it also has another what if scenarios that it does on that channel. And some of these are quite interesting. It says, what if you were the last person on planet Earth? Or what if the Soviet Union never actually collapsed? What if you were buried alive? Or what if, this is a strange one, the world lost oxygen for 60 seconds? What would happen? And while I think you can appreciate that some of those scenarios may sound interesting, they can be a little bit far-fetched. But nevertheless, the two words that have been circling around in my head and that I want to concentrate on this afternoon very briefly is the two at the start, what if. And I want to create four what-if questions about the gospel. So just jumping straight in, what if the Bible is true? Well, before we start with that question, what is the Bible? Well, the Bible is God's inspired word containing his word in a collection of 66 books written from 40 authors, including shepherds, priests, kings, scholars, fishermen, and prophets. And they were all guided by the Holy Spirit to pen down those words. And it was written over a span of about 1,500 years, but still is completely unified in its message. But what if it's true? Well, we need to figure out what it says to figure out what that actually means for us. And although the Bible covers a lot of topics, the most important one that we need to talk about this afternoon in the park is the gospel. And in Psalm 51, verse 5, it says, the psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And that's the problem that each of us have. It's the problem that I have. It's the problem that each one has at point of conception, we were sinners. And because we were all born sinners, we are not able to enter into that perfect heavenly mansion that God has created for us and God wants to give us. That's referred to in John chapter 14. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. So, by God's matchless grace and mercy, he demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent his only begotten and perfect Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to pay the price at Calvary for your sin and for my sin. The price has been paid. The free gift of salvation is available for each one here this evening, but you do need to accept it for yourself. So, what if the Bible is true? Well, if the Bible is true, you and I are sinners that can never gain access into heaven by our own merits or our own works. And we need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Saviour. Second one then, what if you do not act in time? What if you do not act in time? Time governs everything that we do, from when the alarm clock goes off in the morning and we have to hit the snooze button a couple of times, or when we are figuring out how long it's going to take us to get up the road into work on time. It governs absolutely everything. And the Bible has a lot to say about time as well. But the one that I want to concentrate on very briefly this afternoon is Proverbs 27 and verse 1. And it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And this verse is simply reminding us that while it's good and proper that we should be able to make plans, none of us can actually guarantee 100% that we are going to see those plans come to pass. And furthermore, it reminds us that none of us know how long we have left on this planet Earth. We could be involved in a car accident tomorrow. We could be diagnosed with a terminal illness in a week's time. Or indeed, we could live to being over 100 years old. But regardless how long of the time that we physically have on this planet Earth, you can still run out of time to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you do run out of time, John chapter 3 and 17 and 18 tells us that even though God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but listen to this bit, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Perhaps you're listening here this afternoon and you do believe in God. You do believe in that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But you've no assurance of the peace of God. Perhaps you've been trying to gain your way into heaven by good works or by giving of your time and talents to charities and organizations, all of which are very good activities. But I'm sorry to tell you that none of these will be able to gain you access into heaven and avoid the condemnation of God for your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ says there's only one way to heaven in John 14 and 6. And it says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, dear friend, to avoid running out of time this afternoon and facing eternal condemnation in a lost eternity, turn from your sin today and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Thirdly, then, what if the Lord returned to take his church to heaven? And let's just put a time period on it to bring it really into our minds. So say the Lord returned for his church next month. This is probably not as well understood by some people, but the Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again to take those who believe on him and have asked him to take away their sins, who are still living at the time, to heaven without having to die. And at this point, all born-again believers are expected to be removed from the planet Earth in an instant. Can you think what that would be like when all the believers don't show up for work, or perhaps they were all at work and they just disappear from their desks or from their work sites? Or perhaps the next Sunday, there's no one there to open any of the churches and very few people to go in. The Bible talks about this day in Matthew 24. It says, there shall be two in a field, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. And it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. You might think, I've got plenty of time, I'm young, I'm healthy, I take care of myself, I watch what I eat, I do my exercise, I'm very careful on the road, and in general I'm very risk averse, and I plan to live till a very old age, and if what you're saying is true, I'll maybe think about it on my deathbed, or at the very end of life. Even if you are prepared to take that risk, and even if you do live to a grand old age, you have left out the part of the equation that you do not know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And when that happens, you will have missed your opportunity to be saved, and you will be destined to a lost eternity, regardless of your age and regardless of how healthy you are at that time. Matthew 24 and 44 says, therefore, be ye also ready, for such as are as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then fourthly and finally, what if you ignore the gospel invitation? Dear friend, the Bible talks about a day of judgment in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And I'm just going to read verse 12 and 15. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The only way you can get your name written in the book of life, dear friends, is by asking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, asking him to forgive you of your sins. The very solemn reality, friends, is that it will not matter who you are or who you know or how much money you have left in the bank or what excuses you can come up with on the day of judgment. The only thing that will matter is what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your own and personal saviour or not? If you ignore this offer of salvation and your time ultimately does run out, you will one day have to stand before a thrice holy God and answer for your own sin because you've chosen not to give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has offered to pay for it all. In concluding, we don't preach to fill in our time. We don't preach to make ourselves feel better, for we admit that we are fully only sinners as well. The only difference is that we have been saved by grace, because we have realized that this world will never truly satisfy, because we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. We've accepted what it has told us, and we have acted on that information to ask the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives and forgive us for our sins within the right time period. And because we've done that, should the Lord Jesus Christ come back for his church, or should something unfortunate happen to one of us and we die and pass on to the next life, we can know for assurance that our sins are forgiven and that we will never stand before the great white throne and have to answer for our sins. So dear friends, what if the Bible is true? What does that mean for you? What if you do not act in time? What if the Lord returned for his church? Have you factored that in? And what if you ignore the gospel message? Dear friends, instead of asking yourself what if to these questions and perhaps many more that you have this afternoon, if you turn to the Saviour and believe in him to take away your sins, you can say, what next, Lord? As you start to live for him day by day with the full assurance of salvation, peace with God, and your soul satisfied with the knowledge that you have an eternal home in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you to Lynn and Denver again for leading us in our songs today. It's great to be able to share with you, even in these few moments that we're permitted here within the park, and indeed to come into this fine place that reminds us of the handiwork of God's creation. And you might identify quite rightly from my accent that I'm one of these people who are labelled a blue-in. And coming to Lurgan, it doesn't take long before someone points you in the way of the park. For we come to knowledge very quickly that this is one of the largest urban parks in the whole of Ireland. It's the largest in Northern Ireland, the second, I believe, in Ireland itself. And within this park, there are 5 kilometres, or roughly about 3 and a bit miles of walks and paths that both runners and walkers alike can come into the park day by day to enjoy. And number crunchers tell us around about 2,000 people come through the gates of this park each and every day to enjoy the facilities that are provided here, and indeed the walks and the fishing and the other sporting activities that can be engaged in. And this afternoon, as we sit in this park and marvel once more at the handiwork of God all around us and the beauty of our surroundings, I just want to lead us on a little walk, as it were, through one of the books of the Bible. For coming to share the truth of the message of the good news of the gospel with you, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, in the chapter 1 and the verse 16, where he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." There was a man who hadn't been to Rome at this stage. He hadn't met many of the Roman Christians who were part of that church there. But nevertheless, as he wrote a letter, as he penned an epistle, as we call it and refer to it, in the Word of God to them, he desired for them to know that he had a love for, a passion for, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And surely as we come, even believers in God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we come from our church building to a public setting, it is our desire that you might know the same. That is, the gospel is something that we're not ashamed of. The gospel is something that we have come to love, to rejoice and to enjoy and to revel in. And the gospel is something that, coming to this park, we wish to share with you. And what is the gospel? What is that message that Paul was referring to as he mentioned it there in the very opening of that letter? Well, it's a message that declares to us the good news that Jesus saves. It declares to us the fact that there is hope for life and for that which lies beyond life. There's hope available for you, hope available for me. You see, as Paul made his way through the book of Romans, he comes to the chapter 2 and he reminds us that this message that he has referred to, and he begins to explain in the chapters which follow, this message of the gospel is for everyone. It's for the whosoever will. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans in the chapter 2 and the verse 11, there's no respect of persons with God. God desires that you, God desires that I, God desires that all men and women might come to knowledge of the truth, might come to know, understand, believe and rejoice in and enjoy the preaching and the teaching of the gospel message. Why is the gospel so important? Well, it's because of who we are. The gospel is so important because of what lies before us, because of who we are. Because he goes on in the second chapter and he says in the verse 16, there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. You see, the message that he has to declare, well, it has a two-pronged emphasis. There's life for all who will believe, but there's a coming judgment for those who reject. And that judgment is not according to the standards and the laws that you and I pen here on earth. No, it's according to the truth of God's word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an unavoidable day. It lies before all men and women who have not yet responded to the offer of salvation in the gospel. It lies before perhaps you today. A judgment day before a thrice holy God. You might say, well, this message you're beginning to expound, this message that you're sharing, it's not something that I want to consider or ponder in my own life. It's not something that's truly applicable to me. You're trying to make it applicable to me. But that's where the apostle goes on to answer that very same accusation. For in the chapter 3, he goes on to say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you. That means me. As Aaron said a few moments ago, the psalmist said that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We were created with a very sin nature. We were found in the very beginning of our lives with that very sin nature within. we delighted to do that which was against God and against the word of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, he says in the chapter 3 and the verse 10 of the book of Romans. It's you. It's me. No matter how upstanding we may seek to portray ourselves, no matter how many good endeavors we may be involved in, the word of God is quite clear. There's none righteous. All have sinned. All have come short of the glory of God. And so because of that sin, sin which separates us from a holy God, sin which truly is that which he hates and deplores, so there's coming that day whenever all shall know what it is to receive the just reward for their sin. But there is, in the message of the gospel, not only the bad news, but there is the good news. Remember, that's what we've described the gospel message as being, the good news that Jesus saves. And the Apostle Paul shifts his emphasis to remind us of this, because he says in the chapter 4, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And therefore, being speaking of Christ, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead." And so that judgment that is proclaimed in the opening chapters, well, it doesn't have to be the reality that you experience. It doesn't have to be the reality that I experience. Why? Because there's life offered, forgiveness offered to all who will believe. And instead of receiving that which we deserve for our sin, we have instead given to us the very mark of accreditation that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible refers to as the imputation of righteousness. The fact that his sinless nature, his sinless character, his sinless record is applied to us. As God looks at us, he sees one who is forgiven. One who has known what it is not to remain in their sin, but rather to receive Jesus Christ alone for their soul's salvation. And you might say, well, how is all of this possible? How is that great exchange of sin for righteousness possible? How is the great reality of not facing the wrath, the condemnation, and the judgment of God possible? Well, it's all because of Jesus Christ. In chapter 5, it says, when we were without strength, that is, when we could do nothing to save ourselves, when we could do nothing to change our sinful condition, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for people such as me, people such as you. And God commendeth, that is, demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died on Calvary's cross to take away our sin. So the message of the gospel reminds us that, yes, there's a coming judgment day for all who will know nothing of salvation, not accept the offer of mercy and grace, not come and repent of their sin. But there's life. Life available for all who will believe. It's all made possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, as he goes on to refer to in the chapter 6 and the verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But in the giving of eternal life, it's a gift from God, all through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, God demonstrated love toward us in sending his Son to Calvary's cross to die for our sin, in order that it might be possible that we might know forgiveness of sin. Not receive what we deserve because of our sin, but receive that free gift of salvation that is offered by Jesus Christ and by him alone. And so as we come on further, a little further in the book of Romans, we come to the chapter 8. Having come to that knowledge of salvation, is there something which can provide us with certainty, with, as it were, a guarantee of who we are in the sight of God? Once more, the apostle doesn't leave us without an answer, for he says in the verse 1 of the chapter 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So here's the reality of the promise given to us in the gospel, that if you believe, if you repent of your sin and accept the finished work of Calvary, the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, then there's no condemnation. That is, in the eyes of God, you're no longer guilty in light of his law. You're declared free from that law. You're declared righteous in his sight. You're declared forgiven. That's a great guarantee. It's a cast iron guarantee. It's a guarantee that will last long past the very point of your death. It's a guarantee that lasts for all of eternity. And so as we come further in the book, it tells us in the chapter 9 that there is indeed the reality that all who believe in him shall not be ashamed. That is, they shall not be found wanting. There's nothing in this life that can offer the guarantee that salvation can. And truly, if you come and repent of your sin and believe in Christ alone for salvation, then you too can know that same guarantee today. And how do you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you come to know this guarantee of a home in heaven, of forgiveness of sin, of acceptance before God? Well, that's revealed to us in the book of Romans in the chapter 10 and the verse 9, where it says simply, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you once more. Remember, at the beginning of this book, he refers to the gospel being for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. And so too, the promises of the gospel are for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Whosoever. Will that be you today? There's a reality that awaits all who are outside of Christ. There's a reality because of that sin condition in all of our hearts, that which separates us from a holy God. A reality that one day we'll stand before God and receive the just reward for our sin, the wages of our sin. But today there's forgiveness offered to you through Jesus Christ, if you'll only believe. If you'll only come confessing your sin, believing in him alone. If you'll only come and call upon his name. Not a church, not our church, not any other church, but calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you surely shall be saved. I wonder, will you come today? Will you respond to that message? Will you respond to that invitation? Will you close in and receive that which only God alone is able to provide before that day of judgment comes? If you have any questions as to any of the things that have been said today, then feel free to talk to any of us who are gathered here. Or if you wish to avail of the church website and contact us that way privately, then please feel free to do so. But come and receive of the offer of mercy and grace in the gospel. Don't leave it another day. Rather, come today and believe in Jesus Christ and you shall surely be saved.